Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. You know, a dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website. Whoa, am I deep? I'm so fucking deep. But I didn't say that. Squarespace said that because Squarespace knows that your idea needs to be put out into this world, and they want to help your ideas become reality by making an amazing website and then making it so easy to do that you don't have to spend time on the website. You can actually spend time on the idea. Now, that's a phrase and a slogan that they should fucking jump on. They got 24/7 award-winning customer support. You can customize everything on your site from the look and the feel and the settings. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Okay, so head over to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Oh boy. You know I love my beer. I actually do. I like a nice beer, and I'll tell you, the beer that I've really been getting into lately is Fat Tire Belgian White. It's a refreshing Belgian White Ale brought to you by the New Belgian Brewing Company. Now, let me tell you, why do I like Fat Tire Belgian White? Well, I like it for a couple reasons. One, I like the way they run their business. It's 100% employee-owned, okay? And they only specialize in this special craft style of beer. It's the Fat Tire Belgian style ale. Now, the Belgian ale has all the flavors that you know and you come used to with a regular beer, but it's got a little extra thing there. I don't know. I'm not a sommelier. I can't tell you what I'm tasting, but I can tell you there's a little tartness to it. There's a little sweetness to it. There is just uniqueness to each one of their beers. So if you think, hey, Paul, I like beer too, and I want to have something a little different than the run-of-the-mill beer, and we all know Fat Tire makes some of the best beer out there, head on over to the Beer Finder at newbelgian.com. Let's go to newbelgian.com, look in the Beer Finder, and you can find where you can taste Fat Tire Belgian White near you. That's newbelgian.com to taste a beer that's so familiar but so uniquely different. Ooh, you're going to like it. That wasn't even their slogan. I made that up for them. Hopefully they don't hate it. Keep on advertising with us, please, New Belgian.
I'm no astrophysicist, but I'm going to go on record and say, just like The Inconvenient Truth, this is the most scientifically accurate film ever made. We saw Geostorm, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause the bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid, June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid, they judge a bunch of movies while they making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello people of Earth, and hello people of Largo, we are live here in Los Angeles for a very special How Did This Get Made? All-Star Edition. We have a great show tonight. We are talking about the movie Geostorm, and I can't do that without my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas! Welcome! Welcome, Jason!
What's up? What's up, jerks? How we doing?
Jason, I'm doing
usually
great.
Closer to the piano.
You can move your chair up. Oh, no, this is not going to end well. I got to say, Gerard Butler.
Killing it, baby.
Love it.
Unstoppable. I'm here to say, at a certain point, I stopped taking notes because I was like, I love this movie. I love Geostorm.
There was a moment in the beginning of this movie where I was like, oh, I thought it would be crazier. And then 45 minutes hits, and then you're like, oh, fuck, there it goes. And
I kept being like, when's Toby Ziegler coming back? Spoiler alert, never to be seen again. Senator Toby Ziegler.
This is, it's a great movie, especially...
Geostorm! like for that to become a thing.
Oh.
I would like for people to just start screaming Geostorm in public and then not answering questions as to why you did it.
I feel like the proper response would be to yell that Kumite. I feel like that would be the call and response.
Perhaps. Or Hurricane Heist.
Oh. Which
we're coming for you, Hurricane Heist. We see what you're up to. We're coming for you.
It is coming to this podcast. Unfortunately, it was not in theaters long enough for us to coordinate a podcast recording. But don't worry.
We see you.
It'll be in the iTunes store soon enough. We are very excited to bring, I think, one of our favorite people on the show.
Speak for yourself.
She is someone who hates a trash can fire. She hates movies in the future. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair! Welcome. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you. Thank you.
So exciting to have you here and to put you through this.
Yep. Well, the only thing that makes me more sick than a post-apocalyptic future movie is one about a natural disaster.
That takes place in the future.
That's right. 1 year in the future, right?
Well.
Uh-oh.
Geostorm!
I say Geo, you say Storm. Geo!
Storm!
Geo!
Storm!
That's great.
Guys, we're having a great time on a weeknight.
Thursday night, bringing it. We have a very special guest tonight. I've been wanting to have this guy on the show for a very long time. You know him from the hit NBC show, Superstore. He's going to be in the new movie, Blockers, coming out. Please welcome Colton Dunn.
Yeah.
Geostorm!
That's right. That's right. This is a thing now.
Yes.
I was excited.
If you want to tape your friends screaming Geostorm in public, just tweet it to us at whatever our Twitter is.
Get those Instagram stories going of just yelling Geostorm in crowded places.
In crowded places, and maybe there should be some sort of like what Colton just did, like go down on one knee or something. Or
I think point it up to the satellite array.
I think point up to the sky. I think you should have to get higher. I think you should. Everybody should stand on a chair,
on top of something.
Point to the sky, and scream Geostorm.
And then if you have you're with a friend, one of you should be on Earth and one of you should be in the moon. Like, so you maybe like you have a balance.
So you're the brothers. Right. So you're the brothers.
You're the brothers.
A Geostorm, and then someone points that
Geostorm with a bro.
Geostorm, and then you're like Geostorm.
This is our Baba Booey. I was excited, Colton, because when I talked to you, I said, "Oh, this is the movie we're doing." You're like, "Already seen it." So you were already
in You saw it in the theater?
No, I didn't see it in the theater.
Thank God.
I wanted to. But the timing didn't work out.
The timing didn't work out.
I was the same way. I felt like this movie would have been fun in IMAX. Like this would be I mean, this is what it's made for, I feel like.
Men like this movie? Is that what's happening?
Do men like this movie?
Are you guys legitimately, you like this movie?
Geostorm. I liked it in the world of what
you
we're forced
fucking
to
liked
watch.
It. You piece of shit. In you the, liked
okay.
it.
Okay.
You liked
Here
it.
Here we go.
You pieces of shit like
ma'am,
this movie.
Ma'am,
by
you
the
know
way.
What else I wanted to see? Some space sex.
Yes.
Whoa.
Zero G.
Zero G.
Fucking.
Zero Geo Jizz.
Yeah.
Geo Jizz.
Geo Jizz.
Geo Jizz.
Is that the porn?
Is that what?
Jizz.
Geo Jizz. Is that what happens why everyone's frozen in the Sahara?
Yeah.
Geo Jizz.
It's just like, splat.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie is it's, you know, it sets up in the beginning, like, there's been all these horrible things, the heat wave that killed 2 million people in one day. That seems suspect.
Seemed weird. Everyone in Madrid was just like, ay, ay, ay.
Okay. What? What? Do we have to issue a disclaimer?
Jessica's on the floor.
Okay. I'm so tired.
We are legit 6 minutes into the podcast. You are lying on the floor, having possibly committed a hate crime.
She called me.
I'm so tired. Guys, I had a long day. I'm just saying what I feel. I'm hashtag authentic tonight, so deal with it, right?
Ma'am, please stop hashtagging things.
I like hashtag authentic. Because
when you click on that, very specific things related to you come up.
So at one point in the movie, people in the desert, they're all frozen.
Yeah.
But like, this is what the movie, like the movie is like, I think showing all these cool images, but all these, like this army of men come out with guns pointed at a frozen village as if like Mr. Freeze is there. It's like, there, like this is like, we've already established, we're in a world where crazy natural disasters come, but then the team that goes in is like the army, like, what the fuck, we're gonna shoot down.
They're the UN.
The UN.
It's even weirder.
The militarized UN force with their guns. And that, to me, like, sums up this entire movie. It's like...
That sums it up?
Well, because it doesn't... Like, nothing really makes sense. It, like, it's a cool image. Like, yeah, they're in town, like, looking. Like, okay. But it was from the sky. It, like, there was no evil plan. Like, we're in a world where crazy shit happens. But nothing makes sense. Like, Gerard Butler is an astrophysicist.
That doesn't make sense. I agree with you.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
How about this? That they have the worst act. Well, first of all, I thought Gerard had a pretty good accent.
But the other one. Wait,
what?
A pretty good which accent?
New York.
His Canadian accent.
Better than his brother, who just watched like Taxi Driver a bunch, and then just was like, that was what he was basing it on. But then they had to say we were born in the UK. That
one's
was fucking
Scottish,
crazy.
One's from the UK. They don't sound anything alike. And the brother who worked for the State Department looks like he's 12.
Yes.
I googled it. He's 38, but he looks like he's young. 12 years old.
And get a haircut.
Yes, I agree.
Get a haircut. Oh,
I agree. You don't have that job with that shaggy a haircut.
It's like it was just like a wisp.
Yep, I
like
agree.
Both of them. Gerard needs to take a shower.
Nope. I'm all in on Jerry Butler.
Yeah. I am all in on him.
That dude's musk must be beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to smell his neck.
By the way,
I hear you.
Jerry Butler,
no,
without him knowing.
That's right.
Jerry Butler would be in prime for a cologne. I would like a Jerry Butler cologne.
Jerry Butler cologne.
Yes.
It's called like Butler Has Fallen.
By the way, this movie references Jerry Butler movies.
Yes.
All the other satellites are named after his movies. Like Rock and Roller is a Gerard Butler movie. And there is another one.
Oh, the Butlerverse?
Yeah.
Wait. A Year in Provence?
You're talking about the Butlerverse. Wait a minute. I don't think he's in that movie.
Yes, he is, right? Nope. What? That's the other angry guy.
Who is it, do you think?
You know.
We've got time.
Guy?
We can wait.
Did he throw a phone at somebody?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
You're correct. Gerard Butler.
I wish Gerard Butler was in that movie. I'd watch that movie again.
Really?
Which one? Gladiator or Perfect Mind?
No.
A Year in Provence.
A Year in Provence.
A year in Provence. I thought it was like a year in Italy.
A good year in Provence.
Wait,
what's a year in Provence?
That's a book, right?
Oh, it's a book?
No. Diane Lane. That's Tuscany.
That's Under the Tuscan Sun.
Let's talk about this. You don't even know the name of it.
You said that's Tuscany.
Yeah, you said it was like
the movie's
that's
called
Tuscany.
That's Tuscany. And then you did a middle-aged lady dance, like you had nailed it.
That's the Nancy Myers version of that movie. That's Tuscany.
Everybody's in linen, right? That's a movie I'd like to see.
Where everybody's wardrobe comes from Cheetos.
That's right. We digress.
You know that you're in store for a good movie where the first line of the film is, you have to excuse me, I came from outer space.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm in. I'm already in. You got my money. Did you guys feel like his character was unlikable from the get? Like,
Jerry's?
Yeah, because he comes in and he's like a dick to this, like, commission, but they weren't even being that dicky to him.
Well, he's an hour late. And he's like, he's being a real prick about things.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, why?
But like in a charming way.
Can we talk though right before he goes in?
Oh, yes.
What's that about, should that monologue?
This? Should I play this scene?
Are you talking about the monologue from the security guard?
The monologue, but I'm talking about Zap.
This guy, right?
Did everybody write Zap in their notes?
Talk about this guy.
Oh, this guy. So we'll just play it for real seconds.
Yeah, first of all, they're supposed to be in D.C. at a Senate committee, and he pulls up to a Chase Bank.
They don't even try.
Turned into a Zabar's.
Here we go. This is
Lawson. You the Dutch boy guy, right? Yeah. Man, I need to shake your hand.
Oh, okay.
Tornado. Zap. Blizzard. Zap. Monsoon. Zap. Zap. Everybody down here owes you, Jake Lawson. If you need anything, you just ask.
Why is he looking down?
And then he
down?
Gives him his tie.
Oh, yeah.
And then he walks
he
in.
Does. I didn't
and then he
get
walks
that.
Into the Senate the next, hearing the match, adjusting this man's tie that he's just stolen
on his
from
own
him.
Neck. Yeah, he takes that guy's tie. That's the whole. That's the whole.
Weird,
and then
though.
Later, but the tie, inexplicably,
so
is
short. So short.
As if it's a piece of comedy or something that later he's walking around with a very short
like
tie.
Like a child's
on.
Tie.
Yeah, that was a really weird choice.
Like a boarding
he's
school
He's a scientist.
Tie.
He doesn't know how to do that. He only knows how to punch people in the face like a good scientist does.
I don't understand is why does his brother's just texting him, stop. He does it like 17 times, right? Why doesn't he text him, hey, I was named head of this thing.
Yes.
I need you to behave, right?
Or
I'm
going
to fire you.
Or I'm going to fire you. That's news he could use.
Again, there is no reason for him to be this confrontational in that opening scene. No. Like, he doesn't seem like he's on trial. It just seems like a normal test. It doesn't seem like... The guy
Toby Ziegler is like all upset.
The Ziegs is bringing it. 100%.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, so like I've, can you tell I've just finished all four seasons of West Wing before Aaron Sorkin leaves. When Aaron Sorkin leaves West Wing, the show is awful.
You know, he never watched it after he left.
I never watched
it. I've never watched even a minute of it.
I did. I actually watched a couple, and it's garbage. Anyway.
Yeah, he won't watch
it. So Toby Ziegler is here. He's the senator. And he's like, we pay for the blah, blah, blah. And it's a fight that is pointless. It is a fight that is unnecessary. It's a scene that is just meant to let us know that this guy doesn't listen to the man. This but guy plays by his own fucking rules.
And it's like a shitty fight because, like, you know, we paid for this out. Like, I didn't see you up there. It's like, okay, yeah, that's a turn of phrase. Like, I'm against you as the audience now.
But he doesn't even go that, but then he goes even further. Yeah. He's also like, I don't remember seeing you up there. There was a plumber up there who looked like you.
Which is like a, like...
You know, the guy that handles shit.
Yeah.
That guy. You piece of shit.
But I'll be honest, I walked out of that being like, fucking Jerry Butler. He doesn't give a fuck. He showed Toby Ziegler what for.
I kept thinking about how psyched Toby Ziegler was that he had all those papers in front of him, because if I was the Ziegs, I wouldn't have studied my lines. I would have just printed them out. You know what I mean? And he's just looking down like looking like he has business, you know?
I would love to be cast as like someone on a Senate panel.
Yes. You could just shuffle just those papers
in
right
front
of everywhere.
Me, reading glasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, and I don't even know why they're there. Because they don't even know what the panel is about. You don't have any context to
they're
anything.
They're saying, isn't it all about that America's taking it back? They
no, they're
it,
giving
only
it
have
away.
Control.
In 3 years, they're giving it away. 3 years.
Oh, wait, is there a time jump?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a time jump.
Yeah, 2019.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's how he builds all those cool solar panels on his mobile home.
Okay. I did not catch that.
By the way, also just love that he like moved down to like a lot of things are happening in Orlando in this movie. It's like the only like city that doesn't really get that much play. It's like they're in Orlando. We gotta get them. Oh, all right, I guess. Well, you know all the big Republican and Democratic national conventions in Orlando.
In Orlando.
I didn't know that was Andy Garcia.
Oh, come on.
What?
Wait.
Ay, ay, ay.
What I wrote down was equally offensive.
Colton, not cool. Colton, not cool.
that's rude. It's not time for that. I wrote
who did you
back.
Who did you think it was?
Well, I wrote down, who's playing the president? He's a nice-looking Italian.
I feel like, I genuinely feel like you have the institutional racism of a grandmother.
But what
who's the nice Italian boy playing the president as if we'd ever elect an Italian?
And that's exactly what I thought to myself. I was like, well, that's interesting. And then I wrote, quote, I want Italian meatball hero. I think I felt like watching him.
Wait, you want an Italian meatball hero?
Wait, what?
And by
what's
the way,
happening?
Do you? I've also never heard anyone refer to as an Italian meatball hero.
So wait a second. While watching a movie, you saw Andy Garcia. You wrote a note saying, "Who's playing the president? Seems like a nice Italian man." Then you wrote
in
quotation
her own thought.
So that's dialogue in your notes. I could go for an Italian meatball hero right now. Unquote.
Maybe that's the quote she thought should be on the poster of the movie.
What is going on?
I don't know, guys. I was really tired when I worked. And then he did a lot of pen acting, which is true. I didn't think Garcia brought it for the first 75 to 89% of this movie. He didn't have a lot to do, but he also was giving me dead eyes. That's why I didn't know it was him.
Well,
when
I think
he
you
came
were supposed
to life is when he said, I'm the goddamn president of the United States. I'm like, there's the Garcia we know and love.
From what? From what?
Yeah, what?
Name one Andy Garcia movie. I'm going to make this easy. Name one Andy Garcia movie.
The Godfather 3.
All okay. Right.
Really?
Yes.
That was a shot in the dark.
Love it. Love it.
Casino?
You're on fire.
I never
tonight.
Saw that either. Casino? You're...
No, he's not.
Casino?
You should have quit while you were ahead.
Oh. Yeah, take your win. That was a big win for you. That was a big win.
Holy shit. You are on fire tonight.
Also, he looks a little like Mitt Romney, doesn't he, in this film?
Oh, you know, there was someone in that scene that looked like Steve Mnuchin. I see if I can. I bought it, of course.
How are the extras? Oh, I almost bought it. Instead,
why?
I rented it three times.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
That's more than... You paid more to do that
oh,
than
yes,
to own
I'm
it.
Aware.
I have learned from this show that I need to buy it because I'm never going to watch it in one sitting.
Three times!
Yeah.
That's tough.
Oh, it's not going to download.
Because my...
6 days.
It kept expiring.
That's 6 days you tried to watch Geostorm.
Oh.
That doesn't bode well for the movie.
And by the way, if I just owned it, I'd watch it all the time.
That's the thing about this movie, like The Prestige. There's a great second viewing of it. You got to see all the emotions.
Now that you know the twist.
You get to see all the subtle stuff Ed Harris is
doing. All the foreshadowing. Here's the thing. If you want to have your movie seem as though the bad guy is Andy Garcia as the president,
yeah,
don't cast Ed Harris. The minute that camera moves to Ed Harris, I'm like, well, there's the bad guy.
I disagree. I'm going to tell you why. I am your average viewer,
nope.
i.e., I'm dumb.
You are.
I'm a dumb. I saw Pollock, as I was calling him. I forgot his name was Ed Harris.
Pollock.
And I said, thank God, Pollock's
Pollock
here.
Pollock is the Italian.
We're in good hands.
You're not trying to... Let me be clear. You're saying Ed Harris from the movie Pollock. You're not trying to call him a Pollock, right?
Is he Polish?
I just want to make sure you're identifying him for that role and not
clarify by
his potential Polish origins.
A Pollock and an Italian are running the White House.
What could go wrong? The minute Ed Harris is there, he's the bad guy.
I thought we're safe with him. In fact, I was
we're
very
safe with
upset.
Ed Harris? Nobody's ever been
the
safe
man
with Ed Harris.
Those baby blues, I was like, yes, this guy is like a father figure.
To who?
To the scruffy Bear kid. He loves this Goofy. But by the way, if you're going to, I go to your point, if you're going to cast doubt on Andy Garcia, let him do something that seems evil.
He doesn't give you anything.
He was giving up. But that's not Andy Garcia's fault. That's the role. We were not giving
Yes.
All he was doing was pen acting.
Right. Good pen acting.
Great pen acting, but that wasn't given being given anything.
He's teaching a masterclass in pen acting.
Yeah.
You got to sign up for it on masterclass.com.
Yep. Guys, I fucking bought that shit.
What? Oh, I did. I bought it. I bought
it's
the year-long
$180.
Pass. You buy the whole year-long pass. You can drop in on everyone's
I was so bored.
Wait. Martin Scorsese's? Great.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's interesting. I do like it. Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
I'm gonna feel it out.
No, they're not a sponsor, but it's an interesting...
Well, then fuck you, Masterclass.
Masterclass is, it sucks you in because...
Because of all the different angles.
What?
They're shooting you from the side, from the front.
It's like they got, like, they're like, we got Steve Martin for, like, 2 hours. Let's shoot 10 episodes. Let's go, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
And they're like,
see, but that doesn't seem worth it.
It isn't. I don't
What have you watched?
It.
Which
Just
one?
Just 2 seconds of Aaron Sorkin where he said you he never watched anything watched of even season that much. Four. Past season four. Yeah, like 5 minutes.
I like it. I like...
All right, I'm going to...
Did you watch any of these master classes?
No.
They're...
This guy can't even find time to see Geostorm in the theater. He doesn't have time for 8 hours of Steve Martin.
I think that they are...
All right, I'm gonna stay with it.
Aaron Sorkin's is up and down.
Okay. Here's my question.
Yep.
And this is for you guys here on stage, but for you guys in the audience as well. I have seen the entire movie. I'm still not sure the fiance isn't part of the scheme.
Yes, she seemed evil.
She seemed suspicious.
Yes.
The whole movie.
That's correct.
Yes.
I
never trusted her.
I never trusted her.
I never let myself love her because I thought...
Well, I thought she was going to get killed.
I thought she was going to turn on us.
I thought she was going to be working for Ed Harris.
And I thought he was going to maybe end up with the one who was hacking in, who I thought was delivering a great performance.
The chemistry was there with him and...
She's cute, right?
She's from Atlanta, and she's also in Deadpool.
Yeah, I was into her. But anyway, that was a surprise.
I would say that the interesting thing about this movie, too, is, and to jump to the end, spoiler, but when Gerard Butler saves the day, she's the first one that approaches him and goes, hey... I'm his fiance. He's like,
not the time for that.
She says that 3 times.
It's also like to Gerard Butler. Like, okay, fine. That's my brother. That's the president. Why are you the? It's not like they play that moment like John McClane and Al Powell in Die Hard. It's like, hey, they're finally face to face. They never had any communication. Like he doesn't know her.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, he's like, cool.
All right, everybody in this movie, everybody. Has multiple near-death experiences that they are unfazed by. Yeah. They are...
That's right.
They are, it happens, and then it's over, and it is literally as if it never happened. They are cool as a cucumber, ready to jump back in and quip their way through the next scene.
I will argue that...
happens when they see friends of theirs die.
Yes.
In front of them.
Poor, what's his name?
Who? Describe him.
Imagine, though, how horrible it was to act in this movie, because most of your scenes are just to a camera.
Yes.
Because it's like, how great is it to watch two grown men crying over a video conference at each other? That's not good writing. Aaron Sorkin would tell us that.
And he will in your masterclass.
How come nobody knows who Gerard Butler is? He built this whole thing.
He would argue.
We know who Elon Musk is.
Right. He would be on that level. He would definitely be on the cover of magazines.
People are like, who's Jake? You're Jake Lawson? I don't know. Who cares?
Oh, I have
so disrespectful to him.
The most famous dude in, like, when he shows up, the whole team
he
is
saved
like,
the world.
Who's this fucking, oh, another American? Who cares? This guy's a fucking piece of shit. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, he's Jake Lawson.
Well,
Jake Lawson? Like the DJ Lawson? Don't you know what he looks like?
Well, this is, by the way, is this a joke? And I want to, like, I'm asking this in a way that I, like, or I'm going to play this scene. Because I didn't think it was a joke, but I don't want to fuck it up either. So in this scene, is this a joke? Because it's definitely played for a joke. Okay, here it goes.
You look much older than I would have thought. I mean, you look good, but your physical appearance does not match the amount of time that has elapsed in your life.
I think he might have improvised that in the day.
It's just like, it's a faux pas that you would never make. You wouldn't go, you look older.
And it's only been 3 years, right?
And he looks exactly the same. He doesn't look
he
old.
Also is someone, he's also someone who's not old.
Yeah.
So does that mean for that guy, he thought like a 20-year-old invented Dutch Boy? Is he thinking like, oh, I always pictured the guy that built all of this as a teenager.
Right.
And again, I'm a person who works on this spaceship that this man built, and I have no idea what he looked like. Yeah. Like, we saw him. He looks the same.
Yeah.
We're talking about the difference between like 45 and 48. That's really what this whole movie is covering.
Which is nothing. Totally the same ages, basically.
I just felt like that was a moment where they're like, they are so reaching for comedy. Like, it's like, he really put his foot in his mouth. You look older.
But then we'll cut to one of the other people being like, oh boy, here we go.
Not this again.
Support, as always, comes from Squarespace. Squarespace, oh, they're amazing. You can think it, you can dream it, you can make it with Squarespace. That's right, they have beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Squarespace makes it easy for you to turn your idea into a unique and cool website. Customize everything from the look and feel to settings and products. It's all optimized for mobile right out of the box with a built-in search engine optimization. What does that mean? It means that when you make your website, people are going to find it and be able to use it. Gone are the days of having a website that looks cool for one day. No, Squarespace is going to make it look great on every platform, make it look slick, clean, and nice, and you don't even have to pay somebody thousands of dollars to do it for you. You can showcase your work, your blog, you can publish content, announce a special project, even sell your products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. Trust me, I've done it. I've made a Squarespace site. My wife has made a Squarespace site. People make it because it's easy and it looks damn good, okay? Squarespace also has analytics to help you grow in real time. You never have to install, patch, or upgrade anything ever. Plus, they have 24/7 customer support that's going to help you keep your website up to snuff if you have any problems, which you won't because it's so easy. So you can keep dreaming, which is great. You know what? We need more dreamers, but we also need some doers, okay? So what are you? You Tommy Two-Tone? Who's that? We don't know. Or are you, Elon Musk? He's a doer. That's what I'm saying. If Elon Musk got this, he'd make a Squarespace site. Tommy Two-Tone, he's not making a site. Anyway, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. That's squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code BONKERS. Archer is back. I love Archer. It's the hilarious animated comedy. This season, Archer is a semi-functioning alcoholic seaplane pilot, and he is in a mysterious and deadly world of Danger Island, which is in the South Pacific. It's 1939, too. That's a good thing to remember. It's 1939, so while the rest of the world is concerned about the Second World War, Archer is only concerned about who is buying his next drink. He is joined by his trusty co-pilot, Pam. He must navigate quicksand, cannibals, super intelligent monkeys, poison darts, and pirates. And do we mention quicksand? That's right. It's a great show that continues to reinvent itself in the funniest and best ways. You can watch a brand new season of the FXX animated comedy Archer Danger Island premiering Wednesday, April 25th at 10 p.m. on FXX. The brand new season of Archer Danger Island, Wednesdays at 10 p.m. starting on April 25th on FXX.
I felt like somebody did a last-minute pass on the script.
Well, you're smart. Because I will tell
first
you.
First time I heard that on this podcast. Because they. Right, it feels like these monologues were put in because someone's like, you know what? We got to humanize these characters. Let's bring in, you know, Eve Ensler, who wrote the vagina monologues, to like give us some monologues.
Who
did punch up on this?
I'll bring in. Well, I would love more that. Like this. Eve Ensler, but if it's an action movie, you bring in Jerry Bruckheimer, which is exactly what they did.
Wow.
They brought in Jerry Bruckheimer after the movie tested so badly, and they spent $15 million on 2 weeks of reshoots to make the movie kind of, and it wasn't even directed by the same guy.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, did Dean Devlin? All, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Dean Devlin directed.
Did he also make the other natural disaster movie?
He produced Independence Day and The Day After Tomorrow.
The Day After Tomorrow. That's what I mean.
The one where like ice is freezing up. His whole thing is
that's
like,
where Jake Gyllenhaal.
City freezes.
Oh yeah, burns the books in the public library.
Yeah.
But
that's,
yeah,
that's the part you remember, burning books.
And then just to put it in perspective, this movie started shooting in July of 2014 and finished shooting in February of 2015.
Oh wow!
Wow.
It's a long time, and yeah.
Wow.
So what did Jerry do to the script? Was he the one who was like brought in to be like, let's talk about their dead parents? Is that what he would?
You think Jerry like gave no?
I'm trying to figure out what are the reshoots?
What were the reshoots? Do we know what they added to it?
No, they don't say specifically. I would imagine it's most of the movie, like 15 million dollars for 2 weeks.
That's
like, okay, you're in the car. Run over to this set. Now we're shooting this. It's like they're shooting the
I think it's a lot of the disaster stuff though. Yes. I do think it's like the big disaster scenes, Hong Kong, Tokyo.
Oh, see, no, I think
him
not.
Getting that thing when he's in the space the space pack and he like his body takes such abuse when his like jet rocket goes
the
off.
The first time.
That made me laugh so hard. Isn't that terrible? It's like when you see someone fall and you laugh by accident, you don't mean to, but that made me guffaw.
Oh, it was
very comical.
I mean, he was fucking riding. He was like grinding on his own head.
Yeah.
It was like the trench run from Star Wars, but with Gerard Butler's body. Yeah.
And he would not have survived any of the movie.
But not being in charge of your own jetpack, like that's funny to me.
Okay.
Just put Yakety Sax under it and we're good.
They most likely probably added in the ending for where they just took Gravity.
Oh, yeah.
They just took the movie Gravity and were like, let's do Gravity at the end of our movie.
100, yeah. The fact that Uta stayed is like,
oh, what?
What? Okay, sure.
I told you I lived here.
Not only did she stay, she kept her presence a secret until there was a good reveal.
It was like she was in the corner of that room waiting for him to float in.
He'll never pick the right door. Like that's such a crazy, like, he'll never pick the right door, so I'll wait here so when he does it.
Oh, and in
and what's
case,
so funny is that sort of like meet cute like little scene they had is happening while the entire place is exploding.
We don't have time for these things. We don't have time for them to call things back.
But you want there to be time for her to get a haircut.
Just a little off the ends. I don't know. Somebody told her to take that hair down a quarter of the way through.
She also was like, oh, you know what? And maybe I should get in a spacesuit in case this whole thing implodes first and I'm left in a zero-G situation.
What I really like about the movie, and we're probably glossing over it, is I like the genuine mystery. Like, who killed Mac Mood? You know, it was a real, like, you know, they got to figure it out, so they sent up the astrophysicist to do some investigative. Like, that's really the premise of the movie, is like, someone killed someone up there. You got to go, you solve the crime.
Like, well, there's like, when Gerard, in that scene you just kind of showed a little bit of, when Gerard Butler gets there, he is suddenly somehow in charge of all of the things happening at the base.
Yeah.
He's in charge of both the anomalous event that happened in Afghanistan. He's in charge of the man who is the murder that was that happened where the man was ejected on the space station. And there's another third thing that he's also somehow in charge of.
It's like a fucking Jared Kushner situation over here.
I would love it.
Gerard Kushner.
That's a movie I would see. Gerard Butler is Jared Kushner. It's another...
Like, Jared Kushner's cool, man. And he's tough.
In the Trump White House has fallen.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, they have a lot of guns in that fucking spaceship.
A lot of guns for a spaceship.
It's like you would think there would be some sort of vetting process. Like, hey, maybe we don't need to bring guns up there. And they would have a scanning system. But everyone's got guns. They got guns, like, underneath tables, like fucking mobsters. Like,
you know,
too many guns.
I thought that the guy who's in charge of security, you know, who you think is the bad guy at first, I thought that he and the Secret Service guy were the same person.
Oh. They kind
don't
of...
Don't they
I
look
can,
similar?
I see, they have a similar look. I can see that, yeah.
So I was very confused.
Also, the Secret Service guy didn't speak for a large portion of the movie, so you never heard his voice to differentiate them. But I get that.
Yeah. He also looked like Mr. Bean, I thought.
I agree! I wrote that down! I thought he looked like... Ah! I also thought he looked like Mr. Bean. That's awesome. How much better would this movie have been?
Because of the background, Mr. Bean would just like float through all
on a space station. Mr. Bean.
G-Buster!
He's trying to put in codes. He's like, burr, burr, burr.
It's the other door, Mr.
Atkinson,
Bean.
You're welcome. That's your next movie. That'd be a great movie.
That's the perfect... Colt just said the perfect one. That's the wrong door, Mr. Bean. It is the perfect Mr. Bean scenario that's in this movie already. This movie is... Oh, my God, I want them to make
so
this with
good.
Mr. Bean. Oh, my God!
That shit was
Start
genius.
A petition, nerds.
Oh.
Geostorm 2 is Rowan Atkinson and Gerard Butler.
I thought Geostorm was a good name for this movie, but there's another movie, there's another name that called out to me. Maybe you'll see what I mean. Here we go.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy. Dutch boy. Dutch boy. Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy. Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy. Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Dutch boy.
Nice. Dutch boy is said a lot in this movie.
What a silly thing.
Well, I think that one a big problem I have with the title of this movie is that it's also the title of a shitty car. Okay. I don't know if anybody out there... The Geostorm.
It's a legit car
that existed. See,
you're blowing my mind right now.
They must have been really pissed about that, though,
well,
right? They're like,
you know what?
Well,
I had the pleasure of actually meeting one of the producers.
Whoa!
We're looking at pictures of Geostorms
in canary yellow.
Guys, somebody needs to buy us a Geostorm. That we can paint how did this get made shit on and drive around solving crimes!
Yeah.
Geostorm!
Wait, so tell the story. This is a great thing you were saying. You were
saying. Well, a friend of mine was a producer on Geostorm. And he was about to leave to go work on it. And I was like, oh, what are you going to work on? He goes, I'm going to work on Geostorm. And I said, oh, the car? He went,
yeah, I'm restoring a 1993 Geostorm.
That would have been
it's
that
a
would
passion
have been great.
Project.
His response was, what are you talking about? And I said, the car, the Geostorm. And I Googled the name and then showed it to him. And he went, guess I would have thought somebody would have Googled that.
No! What an unattractive car. It's got no, just like no luxury to it.
You know what the working title for this movie was? Volkswagen Scirocco.
Oh my God.
Ooh, you guys gonna see
but
that
Dutch
new
Boy
Gerard
would have been
Butler
tough
movie?
Too.
Dutch Boy would have been a bad.
Because it's a paint company.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Also, it's not like really like you wouldn't be like, oh, I want to see that new action movie, Dutch Boy.
Dutch Boy. No.
Nope.
That sounds like a Michael Haneke movie.
It's a different movie.
Yeah, you definitely get a different line outside of the theater for Dutch Boy.
Yeah, for sure.
You have
for
a building burning, Dutch Boy.
Dutch Boy. Wait, in the story of the little Dutch Boy, things don't go well for him, right?
He tries to plug it with his fingers.
He tries to plug it, but then what happens?
I never got further than that part of the story.
I think he like realizes that
he runs out of fingers.
Yeah, that's
and started
thinking,
using
yeah.
his toes.
Well, that's a different movie too. That's a different movie.
Somebody here knows what happens.
He saves the town.
He does.
He saves
oh,
the
he
town.
Does. Okay.
But does he have to stay there for the rest of his life?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So that's it? The whole story is about like a little kid had to put his finger in it until a mason showed up?
See what a dike is about to break. A finger just does not cut it. Dikes don't typically leak. They weaken until whole sections are washed away. No finger will help when that happens.
Oh, I think this is like breaking down the bullshit of the Dutch boy. Like
I love that somebody's like, this is bullshit. Is this impossible? Nobody can do it.
It literally is right.
Is this Snopes for fairy tales?
Yes. It's like why the little Dutch boy never...
Dear Brothers Grimm, I have a problem with...
The likelihood that the prince would find Cinderella in order to put the shoe on her foot.
If the witch is touching their fingers, how come she wouldn't know it was a stick? Where's the skin feel? Advertising in this movie was spot on. The best reference, he goes, hey man, this isn't a Chromebook.
Oh, so good.
I never referenced a Chromebook. And also Gerard Butler drinks his beer with the Coors Light like so prominently out of there. He's just drinking, but yeah, Chromebook really like stuck out to me because it's like, this isn't a Chromebook. I thought it was good.
Go ahead.
Oh, when is the president showering? On the plane?
Apparently on Air Force One, at some point the president likes to take a shower. They set a whole thing up. This is clearly an area where there was some rewrite.
Yes.
Because they set up this whole thing that the president's going to take a shower, and then they're going to steal the codes from him, and then they just never talk about
never
it again.
Never happens.
They never go on. We never see them on the plane.
And it would be such an easy cut to cut out that whole plan. It's like he just goes along to the Democratic. But no, they keep the whole plan in there, and you don't find out until like three scenes later that there was no codes to steal.
Yeah, you're like, oh, there's no codes to steal because the president is the code.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
But that showering thing was so weird because like, did I miss a scene?
Hang on though. I think a lot of that is just the people knowing that if people see Andy Garcia in a movie, they want to see him shower.
It was to keep the audience in seat, the seats.
Yep.
Everybody knows. Yep.
Stick around, folks.
Got to see those Italian meatballs.
Yeah, get ready for an Italian meatball hero.
Mamma mia.
That's a spicy meatball.
Jason, what did you think of the idea of taking a shower in an airplane with that water?
No. Here's the thing. The water on planes is not clean. Don't wash your hands in it. Don't drink
it. Where is it coming from?
It's coming from inside the plane. It's gross. You're better off using a wipe or a Purell after you...
Yeah.
By the way, don't use the bathroom.
What are you going to do if you have to go?
Well, then you go. But I'm just saying, like, do your biz before you get on the plane and pray to God you don't need to step into that bathroom. I saw a woman walk into the bathroom in bare feet.
Oh.
And I was like, shame on you. That is disgusting.
I do got to say, there was one time I was on a flight. It was an overnight flight. And
Colton.
I like to take my shoes off I get on the plane.
He had a sock on,
this is
right?
Socks. This is soggy piss
this
socks.
This is socks. That were, they weren't enough. And I walked in the bathroom.
You had a geostorm in there.
I've never,
here's what I've
never made that mistake again.
Here's what I've never in my life seen. A clean airplane bathroom floor. If you're lucky, it's just covered in piss. If you're lucky. If you are unlucky, i.e. on Southwest. There is a full turd on the floor, perhaps diarrhea.
Did you see that? Did you see the thing that happened on the Delta flight? In the blankets, like in a first class, in one of the blankets they give you, there was a big piece of shit in the blanket. guest of the podcast.
Look at me. Look at me.
Guest of the
Not
podcast.
Surprised.
Nicole Byer found a human shit folded up in a blanket on a Delta plane.
Here's what I... Look at me. Cool as a cucumber. You know what? I don't touch those blankets. You know why? Because I knew there was human shit in them years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Sealed. It was sealed.
It was sealed.
Wait, yeah. So they just seal those up. They wash them and then seal them up again?
They don't wash them.
They don't wash them.
Seal them up?
Why would they
okay,
wash
wait a minute.
Them?
Do you know stuff? Okay, okay. You're not like a flight attendant, though. You don't have inside info. Okay, then you don't need to keep talking. Yeah.
She found a piece of poop
we
in
would
her blanket.
Love flight attendants, pilots, to come forward and tell us what to do.
That's
tough really,
stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was nice
there
about
it is.
The
spoon?
What?
Oh, my God.
We are now looking at right Nicole now. Byers. Is this, what is the, oh, it's a BuzzFeed article.
But about it, but there she goes. Oh, she goes, dear Instagram. Delta, the grossest thing just happened on my flight. I opened my blanket, and there was literally a piece of shit. How does that happen?
It looks how like did, a little chihuahua is in there or something, this? Doesn't it?
Yeah, they offered her $250.
What?
That's what? Not right.
They eventually refunded her first class ticket and gave her 50,000 miles.
I'm not kidding.
And $600.
I'm not kidding. Nicole Byer should currently, what flight, what airline?
Delta. She turned down the offer.
Should currently own Delta.
She'd like to tell everybody her story. Yeah, she turned down the offer.
Okay, I would like to only because
they made her an offer to not tell the story anymore. And she was like, fuck
by the way,
that. Yeah.
By the way, if keep you're going to try and get someone to not tell their story, don't give them $250. While we're at it, only because we're looking at Nicole right now, please, everybody, do yourself a favor and watch Nailed It on Netflix.
Oh, so good.
Holy so shit.
Funny.
Watch
Very
it stoned. It is the funniest show on television.
From the
get-go, so I've heard.
It's hilarious. Oh, gosh. Well, I'm gonna take this piece of shit off our screen. Oh.
But it is great. The show is great, and Nicole is hilarious.
She's very funny. By the way, there are so many weird things in this movie. Like, Ed Harris's character, his name is Deckham. Like, I had the subtitles on Deckham. D-E-K-K-O-M. That was with the subtitles. That's not a name I've ever heard. It just seems like those are the choices that I get obsessed with. It's like, also they're trying to like, it's like they're trying to like be like ecologically conscious. It's like, well, they'll drive a Fiat and they'll drive like a self-driving car and that we'll do our action scenes in that, but it doesn't really...
Sincere question. Because we get very close to full Geostorm in this movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, seconds away.
Like seconds away from full Geostorm. Oh.
And, by the way, the Democratic National Convention going on without a hitch.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like, let's hold it because then the world is blowing up.
Totally fine.
Nobody cares.
How many people die
a lot.
In the events of this movie? I'm going to say many, many millions of people.
Oh. Easily.
Easily.
But it's still considered a total success.
It's a win.
It's a win.
It's a win.
They treat it like
most
we
of
saved
Rio.
Everybody except anybody who's a minority.
Yes.
What I want to know is...
Anybody who's a minority dies in the
except
movie.
Except the girl in the bikini.
Does yeah, she survive? On. Does like, she survive?
She survives, but oh, yeah. She is never the same.
I mean, it's so...
Yeah, because all those
wave,
frozen birds fell on her head.
A tsunami of ice.
She's in full hair makeup.
And this is my friend. This is Jerry Bruckheimer.
I mean, this is
complete Bruckheimer.
This moment right here is like people are running off the beach. They become ice creatures. Everyone is dying. Death. Except for the one girl in the bikini. Looks back, her boyfriend's dead. Cars
aren't hitting her. The birds are falling.
Birds, frozen birds. That was the scariest part of the movie for me.
And then a real frozen bird.
Here's a great
bird.
Visual, though.
Yeah.
I'm this only just...
A real frozen bird in airplane.
This is the shrapnel for the plane. We tear her apart.
She...
But we don't know if she survived. That's all
she
we survived. See of her.
She, you know, she gets up
oh,
a
she
bit.
Survives she... because she's in the early part. In the later part, where the rest of it happens, when like the whole that's like only
she comes back.
No. In the latter thing, when there's true destruction over the world.
That's it, though. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the geostorm in the movie.
Okay, no,
there's another freezing scene. That's like the first signs of it going.
Got it.
Back.
Sorry. Anyway, regardless, there's so many because you know Ed Harris has targeted all of our enemies. Everywhere in the world, people are being just massacred with tidal waves, all this stuff. So I'm guessing like 20 million people die in the events of this movie.
Yeah, easily.
And we're cool with that?
Everybody's
cool. I mean, you're in a world where literally a lightning bolt is blowing up a giant sports stadium. Like,
yeah.
I think we're just going to be like, hey, we're going to start over, start fresh. I mean, in a weird way, Ed Harris got what he wanted. Like,
yeah.
Not many people are left. I mean, it's going to be a new world anyway. And that was a half a geostorm. I mean, that was...
Oh, yeah.
That was their plan.
You know, I would have liked... They did so much exposition, and unfortunately, most of it was left to that little girl. She had to kind of deliver
so
most
sassy.
Of the heavy lifting.
So
and, you know,
sassy.
She deserved...
She deserves an Academy Award.
She does.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's having to deliver some really tough...
She sets it up. She takes you out at the end. She sets it up. But during the biggest part of the movie, she's watching it on TV. Yeah.
She has to watch it with
her mom. She's watching with her mom.
Oh, yeah, and she's like, and that's my dad.
Well, but also she's like, I don't want you to go to space. I'm like, go to fucking space. That's the only place... That's safe. This planet is dying. Get off. Like, she was like, so, like, she, I think, has powers that she knew something was going to happen.
Ooh, I love this.
Oh, okay. Hold
really?
On.
She's a mutant. Hear
okay.
me out.
Okay.
New mutant, right? She is already knowing what's going on.
She's a new mutant who gets worried about her dad going to space. That's her mutant power.
She can foresee bad events in her dad's future. That's it. It's very limited, but very powerful. And by the way, does self-destruct, is that a thing that ever exists? Like, there's no self-destruct on anything,
Nobody
right?
has self-destruct.
Right, yeah. And then they add the other thing, which is like, oh, and it's irreversible, which seems like a real design flaw.
Yeah.
Like, there should be a... you should be able to say, no, don't do that.
Yep.
Why did he want it to self-destruct? Why did he program it so it could self-destruct? Why
so
does he want that?
So it wouldn't crash into Earth, but that also doesn't take into account that it would just burn up as it hit Earth's atmosphere.
My question was, at a certain point, you are tracking two different clocks.
Yeah.
One is time to geostorm, it says, and then the countdown of that. And then the other clock is time to self-destruct.
Right.
Which is so lazy. It's so lazy to have two ticking clocks.
That's Jerry Bruckheimer. Two clocks.
Yeah. That's why you're paying the big bucks.
I watched it. I noticed you only have one ticking clock. Add a clock.
But by the way...
I'll get you a clock for $3 million.
The entire reshoot was just inserting the self-destruct plotline into the Geostorm plotline.
When you do think of the movie, it doesn't make sense because... They wrap up all the bad guys, and there's about 30 more minutes left of just, like...
Geostorming.
Geostorming. There's no, like, ideally, like, the people on the ground should be wrapping up the bad guys, the people in the space should be wrapping up that, but it's like, no, that one plot line stops, and then the other one just kind of continues. It's weird. You can't get ahead of the pacing of it.
Well, also, like, when shit really goes bad, you've got 40 more minutes to figure that out. Is that common for a disaster movie that we would have that much
time? In fact, it
time?
Is.
Time? It is?
Yeah.
That's exhausting.
In our exhaustive research.
That's exhausting.
In our depressing amount of research, yes, there is usually too much time dedicated.
Because I thought, boy, that's a lot of loose ends. That's a lot of time to tie up those loose ends.
All right, people, let's do this thing. I want to talk about mattresses, okay? Because Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. How do I know? Because I am sleeping on a Casper mattress and I love it. I go to hotels and I'm like, I want to go back to my Casper. And that normally is the other way around. So here's how it works. Casper's got three models, the original, the Wave, and the Essential. Okay, and they are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Now, I always say to the guys when they say, can we advertise on the show? I go, yeah, but answer me this. Is there a ghost, a friendly ghost, cradling me? Because I don't understand how I'm so damn comfortable in this bed. It feels like someone's holding me. It's like that Footprints poem, you know, like, well, where were you when I needed you? Well, I was carrying you. That's how I feel about the Casper mattress. They deliver it right to your door in a box. It's so small. You're like, how the fuck did they get that mattress in there? Anyway, it pops up, does the whole thing. You can do free shipping and returns in the USA and Canada. The best part is you got a 100-night risk-free guaranteed, okay? That's it. You don't like it? Return it. I'm telling you, this thing is good, especially if you want to get a mattress on a budget. And that's the thing. I remember buying my first bed and going like, what, fucking $1,000 for that? No, this has competitively priced mattresses. You'll get $50 off any select mattress by visiting casper.com/how and using it how at checkout. So you're getting $50 off select mattresses by visiting casper.com/how and using H-O-W at checkout. That's casper.com/how, offer code how for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions do apply. Hey, if you want to get your How Did This Get Made merch, head on over to tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. We got brand new stuff there, especially cool Miami Connection VHS box cover of us in the movie. I love it. Jacob's Ladder scenario shirt, equally great. Put her in a bra. You can get that on a mug. How about that? All right.
So let's go talk to our audience here and see if they have anything that they want to bring up.
A Thursday night audience.
And I will remind the audience that you are playing for an amazingly gigantic poster of Geostorm that was donated to us by the people at IMAX. It is the IMAX Geostorm poster. It is comically large.
If you have a king-size bed, you could use it as a blanket.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's too big.
It is too big.
All right, sir, your name, your other title for the film Geostorm, and your question.
The day after tomorrow. My name is Brian. I have a question. So why is it so hard to kill Gerard Butler's character? I mean, first just point his rocket straight into the sun and just shoot it off, or just point it to Mars and just let it go. And then my second question is, why is it so hard to kill the other astronauts when that little weather thing or space pod's going off crazy? Why not just open up all the windows and kill that like that first astronaut did? Why just have that thing go off like a pinball?
And can we also point out that the guy who is involved in the cover-up is also in the room when that thing is being swung around?
Yeah.
So again, that was not in the original script.
And
clearly, they decided later.
Who is swinging that thing around? Is somebody like literally has like an Atari like control stick.
You know what it's like?
It's
like those cranes.
Yeah, it's where you
there's
can't
some
pick
kid
it up.
Controlling it in like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. my favorite part, and then I know it's stupid, but it's like when Gerard Butler's like, run! Yeah, no shit. Yeah. It's like, fuck, we're all gonna die. Like, I just love it. He's like, all right, I gotta get these guys to move.
Everybody in this movie, I'll be honest, should have died.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Been,
I mean, they deserve
more,
it. Are you guys a group, or like, are you guys a duo? Oh, no,
I'm curious now. What's going on over here, Paul?
Two people, like, I normally go to people, but now people have come down to me.
I don't know. And what's in
is
that
guy? Does he have a doggy bag,
is that
or what is
that? Trying
to
give you a to-go bag of food?
No, I got gifts for all.
Oh, you have gifts.
Oh, I don't know that that's necessary.
Oh, my gosh. This is, all right, so these are, well, explain them. These are ball caps from San Diego.
Yeah, I'm with Commander's Shore Squadron 21. I was supposed to be at my Commander's Farewell this evening, but I got my tickets for How to Get Skimmed podcast on fire. So, obviously, I got ball caps for both Jason, for you, Jessica.
Oh.
This is so nice of you. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much.
Well, say your name again?
Cody.
Cody, thank you for these hats. Now, this is a military thing, right?
Yeah.
So... yeah, so talk to me about this movie. As a military man, what are you seeing? How am I, like, this is pretty much exactly what would happen.
Well, I mean...
Does this look like the military of the future to you, Cody?
If it is the military of the future, I want to know where the technology is that he can go without any... equipment into outer space when he first docks leaving Cape Canaveral in there too. He's wearing no gear. This is the first movie I've ever seen, and he's just like Elon Musk on his own private jet, just cruising back there. What the hell?
Also, think about how much money it took to send that one shuttle with one passenger to the space station. That's millions of dollars.
Didn't have anyone else who
that's
needed to
wildly
come.
We are also in a future where there are like 30
NASA rockets like just waiting to be launched. It's almost like a bus station. It's like, yeah, well,
just jump on a shuttle, bro.
I wanted to go back to just two quick points here and keep moving along. You and Jessica mentioned with the overwrought dialogue of Hannah, the daughter. I loved it in minute one where she says, they knew this was extreme weather, but they didn't know what extreme was. And then when you're mentioning, Paul, when she said she's going to outer space, he's like, yes, how did you know that? Don't talk to me like I'm a child. You little snot-nosed brat, you are a child.
Well, she's literally 12 years old.
She's a full sass. Your last
is that you were mentioning with the rewrites and everything done, the director that Jerry Bruckheimer hired to do this was his partner on CSI, Danny Cannon, whose only other major directorial effort was the 1995 Sylvester Stallone sci-fi opus, Judge Dredd.
Whoa!
Deep cut!
I think that you deserve, Judge you're going to get Dredd. This big IMAX.
Great
poster.
Work.
I'll give it to you.
Great work, Cody.
All right, this guy, you've raced out of your seat to come to me. I know that's how it worked in Austin, but we're not in Austin. We're here. We're in L.A.
Wait, hold on. Are you from Austin?
No, I moved there for 2 years, and I went to the Time Cop episode.
Yeah, we know which one we did.
Time Cop.
People rushed to the front.
Yeah,
Ron Silver.
That's Texas.
I love that you didn't see people rush to the front, and then you did it. Yeah. All right, well, here we go, sir.
I'll be honest. You came in hot, and I was like, ooh, ooh, uh-oh.
Well, right,
I got ready. I got ready. I was like, this guy's coming for us.
You came in like a comet to freeze us. All right, so, sir, your other title of the movie and your question.
My name is Rich. My other title would be The Butler Did It.
Oh.
I like it.
And then my question, you guys touched on it earlier about like how old the scene where like you look way older than you're supposed to be. So my question was like, do you think like a PA watched them shoot the scene where Jim Sturgess was talking to the daughter and was like, when my dad and I were your age, we had our own code. And it's like, if he was her age, Gerard would be like 30. and like went to the director and was like, we gotta like add something in here about like how much older he looks if they were supposed to have some sort of connection.
That's true, right? Because how much? What's the?
Well, they're only
what's
10 years different.
10?
Yeah,
10
years.
Yeah,
38 and
Gerard has really lived.
10 years.
He's lived a life.
Rough 10 years.
He's lived a life.
So, but yeah, that code was really good, and the way they deciphered it, great. Oh, sir, you're wearing one of our new How'd This Get Made shirts. Yeah, definitely. I'll have you come on.
Oh, check out those shirts.
This is a Miami Connection inspired shirt. All right, so, sir, your name, your title.
My name is Ben. Okay. My title is Geo Stormy Daniels.
Oh!
Geo Stormy
Daniels! Daniels!
All right.
So, if we're in the future.
You should sit.
You did nail
I'm gonna be
it.
Honest.
You did nail it.
Now diminishing returns from here on.
You can sit and go out a champion.
You could go out a hero.
Oh, you double right? down. You double down. Oh, you think? The smartest person ever on the show. No one has shown such restraint. No one has shown such restraint on the show ever. It will go down like that. You had an amazing question. You've nailed it in every possible way.
That guy, take a fucking lesson, guys.
Yep.
That guy gets it.
All right. Ma'am, your name, your title of the movie, and your question.
My name's Adina, Chemtrails, Flat Earth, and other conspiracy theories. And the director of this film, Dean Devlin, is the creator of Librarians and Leverage. Do you think this was originally created as like a ragtag team of scientists in the space station, like for TNT as a TV show? Or like,
it's an interesting question.
The Dutch Boy Crew?
I'm going to tell you.
The Dutch Boys?
I actually know exactly how it was created, and it's pretty amazing. Take a look at this clip right here about how it came to be.
This started really from a kind of naive conversation I had with my eldest daughter, who was 6 years old at the time, where she was just starting to learn about climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, why can't we just build a machine to fix this? And I started to try and talk to her about geoengineering, the science of it, and why it's difficult to do, and there's moral questions and unintended consequences. But then I realized the best way to explain it to her was a bedtime story. And that's really what Geostorm is. It's a cautionary tale. It's a fable.
Oh my God. He kills 20 million people in his bedtime story.
Here's what I'll say. It is true that because of this video, Dean Devlin's children were taken away from him.
That's right.
But let us be clear. This should be seen as a bedtime story. Please show this to your children.
But also, like, what a horrible thing to do to your kid if your movie could possibly fail. To be like, well, it was all your idea.
Can you imagine that little girl in school, everybody being like, your dad's movie sucks. It's your fault, too. You made your dad make a turd movie.
By the way, yeah. Oh. All right, your name, come over here, maybe.
I will give money to parents who video themselves bursting into their kids' rooms and screaming Geostorm.
While they're sleeping.
While they're in a dead sleep.
I want
to see a parent tell the sanitized version of Geostorm to their kid. Then there's a girl on the beach. She looked just like you, and she started running as the birds started falling from the sky.
Frozen birds.
She froze to death.
Started
and then
falling
they,
from the sky.
They touched the frozen boy's hand, and it broke off because he was dead.
Name your title of the movie, your question.
My name is Megan, and I think I'm going to keep it simple and just do Geostorm, a bedtime story.
Okay, great.
And my question is, or more, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the phishing story that they tell that's like encrypted with like the messages of what's actually going on. Just your thoughts on that, because then they continue to have conversations that are not at all encoded, so I wasn't really sure what like, the thought process was behind that.
Well, I think the second time he brings the hacker,
She fixes it.
But what I wanted to see in that moment was Gerard memorizing the script. Because he'd have to have written it down.
Oh, he had to have.
And rehearsed
word,
it.
It had to be word perfect to the number. Yeah.
And so I would have liked to see that scene of him like trying to cram all those lines.
And also set, like, for him to be like, okay, wait a minute. I have to think of a story. Because the story is fake, he says. We never went fishing. That never happened. So he makes up a fake story as a memory that has to be word for word specific because of the code.
I don't understand, though. So it's like, what's the number? So it's the
certain
fifth
numbers,
word?
Yes. Certain numbers correspond to different words. So if you only pick the first, the ninth word.
Oh, I see.
But also, you could also just listen to him tell the story.
Yeah.
And anytime he says, one word in the story, you know that it is the word that he's trying to tell. It was the worst code ever.
Sabotage. He says, I sabotage.
Paul, are you talking to someone who has a notarized letter with them?
Yeah, I came over because of the sheets of paper. The writing is so tiny on it, but here, sir, your name, your title, your question.
My name is Trevor, Trump's America. the DNC is happening. This takes place in the year 2022, which is not a presidential election year.
That's weird.
That's amazing.
No,
your friend should have gotten on that, Colton.
I have the actual story typed up. That's why I was. It doesn't work. The code, whatever it is, he's like, it's the phone number.
Oh,
which the phone number
figured out that like,
yeah.
So
the code would be his phone number, which is 1-999-295-5871.
Okay.
Which I don't. What's the
number? Well, I mean,
so
that,
it's every. Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. So it's the first word.
I was like, he wrote it down. Here you go.
Go ahead.
So the code would actually be proof of sabotage. The part mechanism course spy trust no one.
Oh, I would love it.
Nice.
I would love it.
Nice. What a,
I would love it if part
of the World War II Native American code breakers right there.
The wind talker.
I would love it if part of the movie was about the fact that he had done the code wrong. And Jim Sturgis was like, what the fuck does this mean?
What a major fuck up that would have been. Oh my God. That is amazing. Well, sir, first of all, I'm going to give the guy who missed his
His question.
The guy from San Diego came down. You get the giant. Look how big the IMAX poster is.
Whoa! Cody! Give it up for Cody! Score.
And I'm going to give our code breaker a specialty Fast and Furious poster. Really good.
I love that we have become the podcast that gives out posters. For everybody's college dorm room.
If you drop off anything at the front of the theater, we'll give it out. All right,
we're giving out Chagall prints next show.
The kiss.
It is now time for second opinions.
And I was struck by lightning by a convoluted plot, but the people on Amazon got second opinions. Second opinions.
Yeah.
Cody.
Amazing. All right. San Diego bringing it again. Here we go. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. We'll just get right into it. They're very interesting. 27% are 5-star reviews. There's 425 reviews so far. And let's get into it right here. This is from a guy called Renaissance Man. If you're gonna make a partisan movie, just go 100% in either direction so you can at least please one group. If not, take out all the politics and just make it an American movie or a neutral movie. It seemed like they were trying too hard to make it a pro-UN, anti-America, pro-global warming movie. They oversold it to us all and under-delivered to everyone. Progressives are good, patriots are bad, UN is great, but US is in charge. Wow. Just give me a good disaster film, pretty please, and don't try to brainwash me while you do it.
Whoa!
5 stars.
Pro global warming.
Yeah. And then this is another one. This is one of my favorite ones from Jeff Connolly. It is what it is, and I loved it. 5 stars. From Connor Peterson, one word, perfect. My girlfriend and I watched it in the theater and it made her cry 3 times. Beautiful. ... Still don't know why.
Why is he sitting next to his girlfriend, like every time she tears up, he's just like clocking it, like once?
It's once.
Yeah,
This is the other one that I liked from a Kindle customer. That's what the name of the credit is. I enjoyed this movie. CGI was great, and the story had enough mush to appreciate relationships between brothers and a father and a father and a daughter. No sex! Perhaps that's why no one liked it. 5 stars. So every now and then I read these. These are 1-star reviews, and this, I'm not advocating the opinions here, but I will read you out some of these, all right? First of all, whoever wrote this is a leftist snowflake and managed to push every political talking point pushed by that miserable 8 years under Barack Obama. Andy Garcia, how can you go from Godfather 3 to this? If you're a lefty or just part of Holly Weird, you might like this movie. 1 star. Propaganda movie that falls flat. By The Henry.
Does that guy think Andy Garcia's only been in those 2 movies?
I think.
And nothing in between?
Maybe he thought that was the apex. This movie cost $120 million. It grossed $221 million.
It did?
Yep. Worldwide. Here in the States, 33. But this movie is like made for overseas, in a big way. You don't need to know English. You don't need to understand.
You don't need to have the sound on to understand what's happening in this movie.
Because this movie came out this year, you know, the biggest movies this year, Black Panther, Last Jedi, Wonder Woman. This movie is so far 77th on that list. It was beaten by Fate of the Furious, which we did on the show, and it beat Disaster Artist, which we also talked about on the show. And the tagline of this movie, two of my favorite ones, surf's up, way up.
No, 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 no. Nope.
And,
way up. No.
And this no. one is this one is a little
that's amazing.
Yeah,
like no. that could legitimately be the subtitle for son of a bitch. What is it? The Escape from L.A.
Oh yeah,
when they're surfing yeah. through down the L.A. River or whatever. Not this. That's crazy. You barely see surfers.
And then the other one is this one that I really like, which is this is a longer one. Some things were never meant to be controlled. Heaven forbid those same things should ever control us.
That's too long.
Way too long. And as we finally end up here, one person's opinion needs to be heard. That is, of course, of June Diane Rayfield, who did not watch the film, and she'll tell you about it right now.
Hello, Largo. I'm so sorry that I'm not there tonight. I wore this handkerchief. So you can enjoy that in my stead. I am truly sad to not be with you all tonight. And as always, so relieved to not have watched Geostorm. I was actually thinking, Paul asked me to see if I could take a swing at what this movie's about. And it's obviously about a storm movie. So I'm not even gonna address that. I would like to say that I find this trend of natural disaster movies to be troubling. I feel like we are, as a society, normalizing this kind of fear we live in of hurricanes and tornadoes and all sorts of horrible, you know, environmental events. And these movies kind of help us work through those fears and actually disconnect us from the very real reality that we can do something about these events, these geostorms. And I don't know if I don't really know what a geostorm is. Sounds like a global type of storm that people are going to be running from. And that's only going to, like, pick up power and speed as it goes on. But, yeah, I do take issue, though. I do, with this idea of, like, there's been a wave of these, sort of natural disaster movies. And I question that. Because I think, you know, it makes the audience sort of feel better about our environmental situation. Because we can control it. We can watch it. We can sort of say, that's out there. Away from me, I have nothing to do with that. The reality, of course, is we have a lot of, as consumers, as custodians of the land, there's a ton we can do about it. So, chew on that. Have a great night, you guys.
She looks phenomenal. I love her in a neckerchief.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Rock and negative. Anything, any final thoughts? Anything that we didn't talk about that you guys want to talk about? Anything we want to bring up?
The only thing I was thinking is, I thought that it was going to be tough for that ex-wife, because I thought when she was seeing him blow up, maybe she was having thoughts like she wanted him back.
Yeah.
But then he gets off the shuttle and there's the brunette. And Uta. she has to take that in front of her daughter, because I feel like
do you think that Jerry Butler and Uta get together?
You don't stay on a ship and go like, hey, I'm still here, like, because you just like are committed to your country. You do
and
it
plus,
for
like,
the dog.
Plus, they like go through events that are like harrowing.
He grabs her twice while she's falling through space.
Like,
says,
they
I got
to.
You.
Do you?
I mean,
let
listen,
me ask you.
She's German, so you're not going to get
Saint Clair.
A lot of emotion out
Saint
of her.
Saint Clair. Yeah. We got to go out on that. For real, do you think? We all agree they have sex when they get back, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you?
I guess
think
after they go through
do
a
you
lot
think
of PTSD
they use protection?
Training.
Do you think they use protection, or are they like, "What? Listen, we just went through stuff. Let's just get it done."
Gerard doesn't waste his seed like that. If you're going to have sex with him, he is putting it in you.
Wait, you have a problem with seed?
You gotta water that butler garden.
No, you know that like Gerard has like his own lambskin like condoms he sewed himself.
Wait, what?
You know what I mean?
Think Gerard Butler is out back sewing condoms? What, out of like sheep intestines? What is this? He's like, it's not quite haggis. It's just my dick wrapped in a sheep's intestine.
But it'll work. This dam will hold.
Dutch boy.
Because I feel like the other way to have gone was he lost his wife, he lost his child, and then he would come back and be reunited with the family. I feel like if Jerry Bruckheimer was in charge from the very beginning, maybe
that's
we
true.
Would have seen that.
Agree.
Right?
The daughter
should have been on the tarmac.
That is Con Air. Yeah. That is Nick Cage comes back to Monica Potter and the daughter and boom. Right?
Yeah. And I feel like...
I don't need you to tell me I'm right.
I feel like what we're
kidding,
seeing
I love you.
Is kind of like one of those like a Blue Apron thing. It's like, we've opened the box.
Oh, are we plugging Blue Apron now?
No longer
in
a sponsor.
In the podcast? Is that what we're doing?
No longer a sponsor on this show.
Oh, can I talk to you about Green Chef then?
Oh, really? All right. <I'm just kidding>. But this...
Sustainable ingredients.
But like, delicious, it feels like...
I'll tell you what. I ate a pair of bonobos the other day, and they were delicious.
I will say, though, that it's like you opened up... Like a beautiful crate of Blue Apron food, and all the ingredients are there for a movie. Yeah, because you get crate.
Exactly.
All the ingredients are there. It's like, oh, there's a daughter, there's a relationship,
right.
There's this other thing about like she doesn't want to fully give over to the brother. Like, it's all there, but none of it is put together
in
a way that.
But in transit, sometimes when you open Blue Apron, you know something would have spilled. A Greek yogurt spilled.
Never though, because the packaging's
never,
so good.
Of course. Yeah. Got confused.
Wait, they are currently not a
We gotta get him back. We gotta get him back. We gotta get him back.
Because I'm just here to say,
but
they give you diarrhea.
And I've never had any packages open when using Sunbasket, a locally sourced.
I'm just saying, this movie is best paired with Amazon Fresh. And a Delta blanket with a human turd in it.
I had forgotten that. Now it's...
Guys, we've gotten a lot done tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Anything else? Anything else to talk about from the movie?
I mean, so much. I swear to God, I thought that fiance was in on it the whole movie. I thought she was bad news.
Yeah.
So much so that when they are, like, together at the end, I'm like, be careful, man. Like,
I would also like to point out that when she's introduced, when he first sees her, she's just standing in the hallway.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't talk to you, I'm working.
Behind a closed door. Like, just, what would happen?
Nothing's going to happen.
She wouldn't be able to get to him if he needed her.
No.
She would have to, you know.
Yeah, it just seems like an odd way for a Secret Service person to be like,
But here's the thing, and we can remember, season 3, West Wing. Mark Harmon is assigned to C.J. Craig, Allison Janney's character. They want to fall in love, but they can't because he's assigned to her as a Secret Service agent.
Well, that's bodyguard, bitch.
Yeah. Or, some could say, that's the bodyguard, bitch.
Right. Fair enough.
All right, so Colton, what do you have coming up? What you have a big movie right now, right?
Oh yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Blockers. It's coming out.
You're very funny in that trailer.
Oh, Colton. I am.
Yes, I enjoyed
am
your
I
performance.
In the trailer?
I don't know. I she just
you
said
are.
It. Really?
Yes.
Wait, you haven't even
you
watched
have a
very trailer
funny
of
bit.
I've seen a trailer, but I didn't see any trailer that I was
saw
in.
a funny bit.
Tight. Check out this trailer that I'm in. It's hilarious. And watch Superstore Thursdays at 8 p.m.
Jessica, what do you want to plug?
I'm playing a real nasty bitch on a show called American Housewife. That'll be sometime. It's sometime soon that will happen. Yeah, and then I'm just like hanging out in my pajamas a lot.
Hey, you and I also did a podcast together. We did a podcast.
That's right. No, I got Womp It Up every week. We're serving it up hot and fresh. And we're going to be doing a live Womp It Up April 16th here at Largo. So please come out for
Very
that.
Very excited. Jason?
You know, no, I mean, if you want, like, tune into the Brooklyn Nine-Nine show. You know, why not?
Maybe. Well, I would say definitely tune in.
You should, yes, you should 100% tune into Brooklyn Nine-Nine. If you do, you might see me on that show.
Oh, very exciting.
And then also, let's see, you know, that's about it. Just hanging out.
I will quickly plug the show that I produce, but I have a small part in it called The Amazing Gale Pyle. It's a really funny show. It's the fourth season. It's now available on Amazon. It's bizarre. It takes place behind like the inner workings of a home shopping network, but the show is so much more insane and hilarious than that description will tell you. But The Amazing Gale Pyle, season 4, on Amazon right now, Prime, I would imagine. Yeah, and that's what I got there. And
You didn't ask, but I was going to say, if you want to watch this movie, I say 100% watch, but wait until it's on like HBO Go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you need to pay for it or at all.
Three times.
But when it hits... three times. When it hits cable or whatever, get in on Geostorm.
But I would also recommend having another project going on in the house.
Doing some decoupage or like a...
Check in on it.
Like a crafting project.
But I will say, too, like, you got to give the movie about a solid 45 minutes to an hour before the real... Like, where it becomes really worth it.
Here's the thing. You can kind of be paying attention until the first person says Geostorm.
Right.
At which point, tune in real hard. Because from that point forward, this movie is unstoppable.
That is exactly it. So we all recommend...
It is full-blown Butler. F-B-B.
We all agree that that's how you should watch it. We all are there. The conversation will continue on our mini episode. You can call 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK.
And also right after this on After Time.
Yes.
What's it called? What's Bill Maher's after show?
Overtime.
Yeah. Overtime, damn it.
After Time.
Shit, I knew it wasn't right, but I went with it.
Yeah, we just continue.
I'm sorry.
You committed, though. You really committed.
I went for it. I apologize, everybody.
And, you know, the only
Cody,
way to make better...
I apologize most to you.
The only way to make it better is if I say, Gio, you say...
Storm!
Gio!
Storm!
Gio!
Storm!
All right, Gio
Storm!
A big thank you to Abel Halley for cutting these clips. July Diaz up in the booth. Nate Kiley doing all the research. Kelly Alton for pulling a lot of stuff together. Kyle Walton for doing all of our cool little ads. Everybody here at Largo and the people at Earwolf. Colton Dunn, Jessica St. Clair, Jason Manzu, because I'm Paul Scheer. Thank you. Good night.
Hey, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Archer, Danger Island. You know Archer? Well, he's back, and it's amazing because this season, Archer is a seaplane pilot on a mysterious and deadly island called Danger Island. That's right. It's a brand new season of the FXX hit animated show. Watch Archer, Danger Island. Wednesdays at 10 p.m. starting on April 25th on FXX. You don't want to miss it. It's super funny.
This has been an Earwolf production. Executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey there. This is Conan O'Brien. I've got a new podcast on Earwolf. It's called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. You see, over the years, I've talked to thousands of celebrities on my different TV shows, and I always thought I'd become friends with these people. But I haven't. It just hasn't happened. So here's what I'm doing. I'm bringing my favorite funny people on the podcast, and this is great because it's free from FCC regulation. We can talk about whatever we want. they're going to loosen up, and we're really going to bond. And these are terrific people, people I would like to be friends with, people like Kristen Bell and Bill Burr, and my first guest, Will Ferrell. I've always wanted to be best friends with Will Ferrell.
Hi, my name is Will Ferrell. I will make it my crusade and my life's work to tell people to not do this podcast.
You can hear my first episode with Will Ferrell right now. Just find Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend in your podcast app and subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. You have to listen to all of them because at the end, it solves a riddle about why we're all here.